Okay. It says at this time the chairperson should briefly qualify. Requirements for chairing a meeting at the Central Orlando Group Saturday night speakers meeting are 1 year of continuous sobriety and attendance at a group conscious meeting. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Jim Powers. My sobriety date is February 18th, 2002, and I've had the pleasure of actually chairing a group conscience for a year, so I've been to more than one meeting. And tonight's not about me. It's about a speaker that I have here. And before I introduce her, the group does ask for me to remind you to make sure your phones are off and refrain from moving around or talking while the speaker is sharing. I met this lady when I was getting ready to move to Georgia a little over a year ago. I had found my dream in Alcoholics Anonymous and was buying some land up in Georgia and going to move up there and retire. And I found my dream, and it's a wonderful place, but it wasn't a place for me to stay and live. I found that out through a set of circumstances that happened starting about October. And she came here right as I was leaving, and I was sharing my dream, and she talked about her dream, and we became friends. And every now and then I would come back from Georgia to visit, and for some reason or another, she was here at the same time visiting from Hawaii. And we became good friends back and forth because I loved her story, and she, I don't know why she likes me, but anyway, she's a wonderful person, and she carries the message wonderfully for Alcoholics Anonymous here, all over the state, all over the world. And it's really a pleasure for me to introduce Norma Jean. Norma?
Aloha, which means a lot of happy alcoholics. My name is Norma Jean. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I'm just grateful to be here tonight. And I'd like to thank Jim for inviting me to share my experience, strength, and hope. And my family is here. And this is unusual to have my whole family here, immediate family. And I said to my husband, I said, you know, I'm coming up on 20 years tonight. You know, I said to him tonight, I said, I'll be 20 October 13th. I've been a good girl. I have not taken out no time for bad behavior. I said, what is it that you appreciate the most about me? Is it my natural beauty? Is it my vivacious personality? Or is it my ravishing body? He said to me, what I appreciate the most about you is your unlimited imagination. You see what I'm talking about? See, a woman never knows what true happiness is until she gets married. And then it's too late. You know, we've been married now for almost 26 years. And there's three stages of marriage. Lust, rust, and dust. I love marriage, though. I tell you, I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. And, you know, and my beautiful daughter, she's here from Claremont also. And what can I say? So I'm going to talk about 10 minutes of what it was like. I don't want to make a newcomer thirsty. So, but I want to talk about what it's been like in almost 20 years since I've been here. I mean, I've had me a great life. I really, truly have since I've been on this program. If I drop dead right now, it would be an unusual meeting, but if I drop dead. You know, that actually happened up there in Burbank, California, up in the area. just like I just made the statement, if I drop dead right now, the fellowship kept right on laughing. They wouldn't stop laughing. I said, did somebody drop dead behind this podium? He said, last month. I said, oh, my God. I said, God, not now. Because I'm having too much fun with my life. I don't want to drop dead. No time soon. I'm having too much fun. So anyway, you know, what can I say? I was an old bloomer. And I picked up and I crossed over that invisible line of addiction and affliction of the body and the mind and the spirit at 32. Somebody said, at 32, Norma Jean, you picked up alcohol? I said, yep, what can I say? Alcohol's a drug, and I'm addicted to them all. I said, yes, I picked up at 32. They said, oh, girl, I can't believe it. You was an old fool. I said, oh, don't call me old. I said, old is when your best friend compliments you on your alligator shoes when you're only barefooted. That's old. That's old. Anyway, but you know, the spirit of alcohol, it took over my body. It did. It took over my body and my soul and my spirit. It just something rushed up inside me that night. And I knew. I did know because my father's a minister. And, you know, he became a minister when I was 5 years old. And I was the only one out of this, let me see, us four of us all together, siblings. And I was the only one that did not like going to church. And so, like, as a result, I was drugged at 5 years old. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning. I was drugged to church on Sunday afternoon. And I was drugged to church on Sunday evening. I was drugged against my own will. So, because I was the only one that did not like going to church, I was the outcast. I was the troublemaker. I was the heathen. I was the preacher's daughter. I was the white sheep in the family. But one thing about it, I was the white sheep. But when I came to this fellowship almost 20 years ago, I found the rest of the flock. So anyway, I went through that gamut with my father and my parents and my siblings. They all loved going to church but me. So at 19, I picked up the map of the United States of America. No, at 19, that's when I moved out of the nest. And I bought me a brand new car first, and I moved out of the nest. And then I was fourth place in Miss Connecticut. And then my father was still putting that pressure about going to church and going to church. And he said to me not too long ago, "You still don't like going to church. You still is a shame. You still don't like going to church." I said, "Dad, what can I say?" I said, "AA is my church." I said, just like the mother that walked in the room, and she said to her son, "Son, I want you to get up and go to church this morning." So the son said, "Mother, I don't like that church. Those church folks don't like me, and I don't like those church folks." She said, "Son, I'm going to give you three reasons why you should go to church. One, I'm your mother, and I ask you to go. Two, it's Easter Sunday morning. Three, you're the pastor, and you must go." So, like, anyway. So, anyway, I'm not here to put down church, you guys. I actually got a moment of clarity this last past month about church. I think I want to kind of go. And that's because of evolution. And it has to be the requirement. It has to be a 12-step church for me, though. They got these 12-step churches coming up. You know, they've been around, but I just happen to recognize them now. 12-step churches, the pastor, the alcoholics, that you know, that's in recovery. And, you know, they're all from the program. So, like, for the most part. So, anyway, but moving on with my life, so I moved out of the house and had a good, you know, at 19 I got drunk one time. At 20 I got drunk. And that was it for me. That was it for me. I didn't like that experience. I mean, you know, I was out of control. I mean, I got up, you know, and I walked to the restroom that night, and I wobbled, you know. I just couldn't believe how out of control I was. You know, I just, oh, my God, I just felt awful. And I said, that's it for drinking. And then I tried it at 20 years old. Same experience, which was negative. So in the meantime, you know, I tried a little marijuana in between. But at 32, that's when I actually picked up. But before I picked up, I picked up at 23, the map of the United States of America. Because I was living in Connecticut. I was born in Daytona Beach, Florida. 2 months later, they migrated to Connecticut. And then at 23, I was just tired of being pressured about going to church. So I picked up the map of the United States. I said, now, where's the farthest point from Connecticut? So I traced my finger. I said, California, here I come. So I drove across the land, me and two other girls I graduated with from, you know, high school. And I immediately got into college, and I excelled. I'm an outstanding student in this and president of that and, you know, vice president. I was somebody on campus. And then I decided to get married. It was that time, you know, it's time to get married. It's time to get married. It's time to get married. And I was working in the office, and this tall, handsome, drop-dead, gorgeous, fine, good-looking Kunta Kinte. He walked in the office where I was working, and I knew then it's time to get married. But anyway, what I did, we had a big wedding. We went on back east, had this big old wedding. And then we came back cross country. And then I decided, three months after I married him, I got this moment of clarity. It's time to get a divorce. And I found out in this life that you may get what you want, but not want what you get. And just like this guy was at this cemetery plot, and he was, he was bawling his eyes out. Why did you have to die? Why did you have to leave? My life was so great. If only I lived, my life would have been so wonderful. Why did you have to leave? Why? Why? So a priest had compassion for the man. He walked over to the cemetery plot, and he put his hand on the man's shoulder. He said, this person must have been really, really special to you. And he looked up. He said, special? Are you serious? It was my wife's first husband. Why? 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 You may get what you want, but not want what you get. I'm quite sure we all experienced that in this life, sometime or another. And I knew I was going to divorce him. But I was with my child. And, and I was somebody's runaway bride. I was a runaway pregnant bride. So what I did, but I pretended to be his wife, though, for a while. Until, she was born. And then I left L.A. I mean, I was still living there. And I went and got me a job in Orange County, California. If anyone know anything about Orange County, California, Orange County, California is a place with a white folks with a lot of money. And anyway, went on down there, and I got this job at Cal State Fullerton University. And I got the job right after my child was able to sit on that pot, and she knew what the pot was all about. And I put her in a daycare, right, 1 mile from Cal State Fullerton University. And the reason why I went to Cal State Fullerton University, 30 miles from L.A., was because my mother told me to find, she said, you married the wrong kind of man. I said, is that so? She said to me, I have always told you when you was little, the kind of man I wanted you to marry, I wanted you to make sure that he was from the South. The definition of a good man, you make sure that he's from the South. And she said, you make sure that he has military background. And last but not least, you make sure that he loved his mama. And so, the man I married, he was not from the South. He didn't have no military background. And he never talked about his mama. So anyway, I went down to Orange County. Can you imagine going all the way down to Orange County looking for a black man that's from the South, military background, and last but not least, that loved his mama? Now, that was a real hard mission. So when I got my job there, and I'm sitting there, and we called for some machine service, copy machine service, repairman. And this man showed up, and as soon as he came to the door, there was a glow from his head to his toe. And he started skinning. I started grinning. And he was skinning, but he didn't have to say a word because country was ingrained across his forehead. I knew he was dead from the South. And then he said something about his mother. I said, ooh-wee. And then last but not least, he said, yes, and I just retired from El Toro Marine Base. I looked up into the heavens. I said, ooh-wee, look what you have sent me. So shortly thereafter, through a series of events, I divorced Kunta on a Monday, and I remarried that following Saturday. Now that's how it works. Now, just before I married him, that's when I picked up. And the spirit of alcohol, that's why alcohol is a spirit. is a manifestation of a spirit. And that's why this program is a manifestation of another kind of a spirit. And spiritual solution to a spiritual problem. I don't know how many chronic alcoholics that are here tonight. But, you know, and we all have four different categories. But I became a chronic alcoholic overnight. Boom, just like that. And you know, doctor's opinion, in other words, I'm going to paraphrase it. It talks about, you know, the obsession of the mind, which is a manifestation of the allergy of the body, which is a manifestation of an entity. That's what it is. It's an entity. And so, like, I mean, it was funny. I said, my mind is so vexated with this thing, this screaming demon that was in my head. It just wouldn't leave. It would just not go anywhere. And then I said, well, all the obsession of the mind, then all I need is a real good psychiatrist. Allergy of the body. Oh, my body, I could feel it. I could feel the energy inside of me. Then all I need is, you know, no, obsession of the mind, all I need is a real good psychiatrist. Allergy of the body, all I need is a real good internist. A spiritual malady, what I needed was a real good exorcist. I mean, you know, because I crossed over that invisible line of addiction. I went right on over into that region of, I mean, madness. It was a spiritual realm of madness that I could not return through human aid. I knew. No one had to tell me that I had crossed over into that invisible region of, you know, the addiction and affliction of the body and the mind. And I want to stop. I was not, because I love being a mother. I love being a wife. I just loved it until I picked up. There was no love there. That's why I knew then that alcohol was a manifestation of a spirit. That's why we got a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem. And that's the reason why you find so many people go back out. So this man, he just loved me unconditionally. Kept pushing me in those treatment centers, one after another. And then it came down to the last treatment center. And I found out one thing about love, though. In those 7 years, that's all it was for me. I couldn't take it no longer. I mean, that was just, you know, because I had lost the power of choice. I mean, when you lose the power of choice, you have nothing going on. I mean, I could not say no to the spirit of alcohol. And I want to say no. And so, like, and I would tell him, I said, I can't say no. I said, I've lost it. You know, one thing about choices, I believe that life is an expression of the choices that we make. And the choices that we make will define who we are. And who we are is going to tell our story. It told my story. You know, here I was 90 pounds, and I had the nerve to think I looked good. I was wearing my child's clothes. I was wearing her clothes. I was 90 pounds, and I looked like a nightmare on Elm Street. You know what I'm saying? But this is the only disease that will tell you that you look good when you really don't look good. But like I was saying about my husband, love is not love until it's unconditional. And he proved the power of unconditional love. He just loved me just unconditionally. He never talked at me or never talked down to me. But that last treatment center, he said, this is it. He said, my military benefits are saying this is it for you. So you're going to have to make a decision what you're going to do. He said, because I'm not going to let you take me all the way down. And you know, my kid, you know, I told him tonight, I said, I think one time you said to me, and Mama, you don't get it this time, I'm going to leave too. Anyway, I had not, my scorecards had read 0000000. And so, like, anyway, he said to me, I want you to go in the bedroom and get your stuff together. And I just want you just, you know, we're going to take you to the treatment center one more time. This is it. Military saying this is it for you. So I went into the bedroom and I PMS. I packed my suitcase. And you know, and that pitiful. I mean, I was just so fed up with my life. Because I couldn't say no. So he, on the way to the treatment center, I said to him, I said, Kurt, I want you to pull over. I have to have me just one more before I go. I couldn't say no. I did not have the power to say no. And here we headed to a $30,000 treatment center. So he didn't fight, he didn't bite, he just pulled over, and I got me one more. And then 20 minutes later, there I was. So I checked in the treatment center. And so they immediately ran to the bed counter, and they came back with some Valiums, and they said, take the Valiums. I said, I looked at the volumes. I looked at them. I looked at the volumes. I looked at them. I said, mm-mm. Not this time. I said, I come here to get off volume. I come here to get off of alcohol. And I come here to get off of cocaine. Not this time. And they start writing, you ain't nothing but a troublemaker. You just got here. You define already. You know, you ain't nothing but a troublemaker. I said, not this time. And they said, okay, we're going to put you. I knew they was not going to send me home. I didn't know that. Not no $30,000 treatment center. They said, we're going to send you to all the way to the back. And they kept me away from the other patients. They put me in the back of the bus all by myself. But I was so tired. I crawled back in that room. I had a spiritual thirst that I could not quench. I had a spiritual hunger that I could not feed. I had this bio-psycho spiritual disease that I could not heal. I was snake bit by the disease of alcoholism. And that venom, it poisoned me. In every shape, form, and fashion, I was poisoned. So when I got to my room, I sat down on that bed, and I made a supreme sacrifice. I said, God, help me. I had a spiritual experience. And in other words, God came, the spirit that was there, I couldn't see it. God put his super on top of my natural. Right in the midst of my high, that spirit showed up and it said, hi. And from that day to this day, the obsession, not even a desire, has never, ever walked inside the theater of my mind to tell me that I can try it again. Now, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of all of these steps, coming all the way from Waikiki Beach of Hawaii, to share the butt-naked truth on how it works for me. Step one was the problem that lies in the solution of step two. When I turned it over in step three, by activating my faith through a personality change in step four, five, six, and seven, so I can qualify for the human race to make my amends in step eight and nine, now I'm able to transmit recovery, unity, and service through 10, 11, and 12 of the fourth dimension. And you know, all because of having had a psychic change. Our personalities is a pattern of mental habits, practiced and developed into a way of life. Someone said to me, Norma Jean, show me your habit, and I will show you a lifestyle. We don't plan our future, we decide our habits, and our habits plan our future. Now, you think when I picked up 26 years ago that I thought I was going to end up here in the hotbed of mental health? It was not my plan. But since I'm here, I decided to make the best of it. And all I got to say is I'd rather know a few things for sure than be confused about a whole lot of things. And what I do know is that this programming works. It works in spite of me. It works in spite of you and countless other. It works. As you can see, it took a nobody and turned me into somebody that's willing to share with anybody about the recovered mind and body. I have recovered. That's my story and that's my glory. See, this is my 357 Smith and Wilson. You know, alcoholics are the only people I know that walk up to you and challenge you about your experience. You ain't had that experience. See, that's why God gave us our own fellowship. Who else is going to put up with us? So I tell them, just go ahead and make my day. 100 men and women who recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and to show you precisely how they have recovered is the main purpose of what? This book. This big book has done for me with the telephone booth, Different Clark Kent. Gave me power. Gave me power over that mental state that precedes the first drink. Power. And see, the word powerless is mentioned one time in the steps, but the word power is mentioned 67 times in the big book. As we felt new power flow in, we have recovered and given the power to help others. Knowledge of his will and the power to carry it out. Came to believe that this power could restore us to sanity. Yeah. Because once a mind has been stretched into a new idea, that mind will refuse to return to its original dimension. Because a mind that is imbued with absolute truth is a mind of restoration, regeneration, and revelation. And I believe the surety of the promise that I can recover depends on the integrity of the God of my understanding. The quality of my life depends on the ability of the God of my understanding. And people say, we don't recover. I can't believe it. Okay, then what's the purpose of coming to the rooms? What's the purpose of the program if we can't recover? I believe this. Imagination or information without application is hallucination. So I had to take the plunge through the spiritual birth canal of recovery. This is a birth canal. Hello. This is a spiritual birth canal. And I came out on the other end with a BA degree, born again. And when it comes to this program, I have a PhD, past having doubt. I've crossed over into the world of the spirit. I had to cross over. There's two worlds here. We got the world of the spirit over here, and we got the world of cause and effect. And the world of the system, I call it the system. It's a system over here, and there's a system over here. And over here in this system, we got these two voices. Two voices in our heads. I'm right and you wrong. We have two voices. I drink today, but sober tomorrow. I love you today, but I hate you tomorrow. Money in my pocket today, but broke tomorrow. Glad today, but sad tomorrow. Stock market up today, but down tomorrow. One year I was a Democrat, one year then Republican. You know what I'm saying? No, what? I said, well, no wonder I drank at 32. All these two voices, I was civil. And, So anyway, and then you got the system of the law of the jungle. What is a law? The definition of a law. A law is a spontaneous energy and a regulator that produces something of its own kind. When I picked up and started drinking, that spirit stepped inside of me, it produced something of its own kind. Turned me into a moral midget, spiritual dwarf, and a mental pygmy. I was real small over there. And so, it was a jungle. And then you got the law of the jungle, sweat in the brow, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, dog eat dog world, trying to keep up with the Joneses. And then you got the system. Racism, atheism, humanism, man is the measure of all things, traditionalism, legalism, law, and dogma. I said, wow, it's rough over there. Real rough. And then that's the system of the world of the mind. So what I did, I started crossing over into the world of one voice. And see, and like I said, two voices. So when I started living the steps, four dimensions in recovery, I became at one with God, step one, two, and three. And then I became at one with myself, step four, five, six, and seven. And then I became at one with the human race, step eight and nine, Because the relationships I have with others is a mirror image of the relationship that I have with myself. See, my family, we got a lot of unity here. Because my husband said to me, in the first year, he said, whatever you're doing, quote, just don't leave me behind. You know what I said to him? Well, here are the steps we took. So we crossed over into the world of the spirit together. And so now, four, five, 10, 11, and 12, I'm at one with the universe. And so, anyway, I'm just grateful to be here to share that this program, it works. And my daughter, she's coming into the fold now. And, these steps, they work in every shape, form, and fashion. To have a whole family now into the fellowship of the spirit. This is what it's all about. And I'm so grateful to be here. So I want to talk about, I have three wonderful miracles that happened right here in this town. And I'm going to start with the one across the street. A year ago, I pulled up into the parking lot over here at the motel. And that belongs to the church. So the next morning, this man was standing out there. And so my husband said, look like the man of the cloth. I said, oh, Lord, we have a 43-foot diesel Christian motor coach. the two bathrooms, his and hers. And so I stepped outside. I was looking like buckwheat going astray. But so he said to me, he said, why are you here in my parking lot? I said, well, I needed somewhere to park. He said, what do you mean? I mean, you know, how did you fit it up in? It's so tight. How did you manage to fit it up in here? I said, well, because the radius of the tires, how they turn, it just got us right up in there. He said, I still want to know, why are you here? I said, well, I go to the meeting over there across the street, AA meeting. He said, you go to the meeting? I said, yeah, I do a lot of speaking, and I'm just here to visit. I'm by way of the 12 steps of redemption. He said, redemption? I said, yes. He said, what are you doing tomorrow night? I said, well, I'm planning on going to the AA meeting over there across the street if you let me stay in this parking lot. He said, would you come to my church and speak tomorrow night for my congregation? I said, I'll be more than glad. And you believe over here right across the street? They had dinner for my husband and myself, a big dinner, and they just wanted me to share my experience with Hope about the steps. And I share powerless over self-defeating habits, and my life had become unmanageable. And then, you know, I broke down the steps, you know, love thy God with all thy heart, you know, so these church folks now, them Presbyterians looked at me like this. Ooh, honey, that was rough. What are you doing here? You know, you know, that was the expression. And so I knew I had to say something and do something to soften their hearts so they would hear me. I said, well, you know, the steps are like this. Love thy God with all thy heart, step 1, 2, and 3. Soul and mind, step 4, 5, 6, and 7. And then love thy neighbor as thyself, that's step 8, 9. And then go ye in all the world and carry the message and not the mess, step 10, 11, and 12. Whoa, it got so quiet you could hear a rat pee on cotton. And then after I finished, all these ladies and some of the men were lined up to talk to me and shake my hand. They said, well, I have a daughter, and she's giving me so many problems with alcohol and drugs. What do you think I should do? I looked at her and said, go to Al-Anon. Next. The man said, I got a son that's out of control with drugs. What should I do with him? I said, well, tell him to go to Al-Anon, you know, what do you call it? What's the other program? N.A. Yeah, I'm talking about N.A. And so, like, anyway, you know, I was giving my answers, you know. So I'm just grateful, you guys. And then I saw it's all about being useful. That's all to it. And here I was across the street when you guys were having a meeting, and here I was sharing my experience, strength, and hope over here. See, things like that don't happen to people like you and me. And so, like, all because I start crossing over into the world of the Spirit, then all these demonstrations of power of the extraordinary start happening. And then, let me tell you what happened about this place. This place is, I tell you, I left this meeting 10 years ago. I'll never forget it. And when I left, guess what happened? I went to, that's when they had that restaurant, it was called, what's the name of it? I forgot the name of it. Anyway. And I pulled up in a parking lot, went inside to eat. And then I was walking outside. I'm headed to St. Petersburg to speak at the log cabin. And now my husband had told me earlier not to go. He said, don't go to Florida. That's when he was living in California. Don't go to Florida. I said, what can I say? I'm going to Florida. He said, I don't think you should go. I said, why not? He said, because money is funny. I said, well, I got to go carry the message. See, there was no unity there. I'm telling him I got to go to Florida carry the message. He's telling me not to. See, he was living in a two-story house. His story and my story. So anyway, so I came on over. But there was no unity whatsoever. Okay, well, see, well, there's no unity, there's chaos. So I came on over, and then I was in the restaurant, and then I walk outside to get inside my car to go to St. Petersburg to speak that night after I left this meeting, and my car was stolen. They have taken my car. I could not believe it. I walked back in the restaurant, and adversity will always introduce you to yourself. I stood there right there in the lobby. I cried like a baby. They stole my car. Somebody stole my car. And then police came, took the report. And I had to be thankful for one thing, though. See, one thing about me, I know when I'm in trouble, I'm in pain, I know what to do to get out. I need some help. Because they took everything. About $8,000 of Nordstrom's. That's when I used to be I'm not going to tell you about Nordstrom's. Thank God for step 6 and 7. I'm not going to tell you about Nordstrom's, okay? But that experience healed me from Nordstrom's. And I'm not going to tell you about Las Vegas, 5 years in recovery, you know? But anyway, I'll get back to... So anyway, I had to become grateful. I walked over to the bus, the shuttle, and I'm going to the airport. I don't have no ticket. Ticket's gone. And that's during the time you lose your ticket. That's just too bad. So anyway, but I'm thanking for my wallet. I did have my wallet. Thank you, God, for my wallet. And I did say this much too. Bless, love, and forgive that sucker that violated me. You know, you guys, there's some things you have to do in order to get some grace, okay? I needed some grace. And so, I start praying. I was headed to the, the airport, not knowing what was going to happen. And I said, okay, God, I just want one thing to happen, two things. I just want the car to come back without a scratch. And I want my big book. Let the Nordstrom stuff go. But I do want my big book in the car. And I also want this picture when I was 90 pounds. And I had a big picture like this. And I looked like a toothpick with lips. And I wanted this picture. I wanted that picture so bad. You know, I just want my big book and my picture in the car to come back without a scratch. That's all I'm asking for. So I get to American Airlines. And I walk up and tell the girl, all this makeup. I was pitiful. I was pitiful. So I told her my story. And she said to me, there's nothing I can do for you. I said, but I'm a victim. She said, there's nothing I can do for you. And then the girl next to her, she was listening. Then she said, and I went over there, she said, and you trying to get to California? I said, yes. And then 10 minutes, she was on that computer, just working out, 10 minutes. Then she came up with a ticket, and she said, this is a first-class ticket. She said, but I tell you what, if you get caught with this ticket, I don't know you. And I don't exist. Your plane is leaving in 15 minutes. And here I was headed back to California, first class, looking like E.T. going home. And then when I got home, the next day, I went to my travel agent and I told her the story. I had tears in her eyes. I know your mission. I can't believe this happened to you. And she pulled out her checkbook. And gave me a $300 check and told me to go to Nordstrom's and buy me an outfit and come back in the store and model it for her, and which I did. I stepped around her. And then after that, the following weekend, I went to a convention up in Victorville. And this guy, I've shared the same story, and this guy walked up to me. He said, you know, this ring here, this is an AA ring. I had it made for another person, but I think God is telling me to give it to you. And would you take it? And I took it. I said, thank you. And then last but not least, I just cannot believe what happened. My husband comes up. He said, when are you going to fill out the claim? I have insurance. I said, no, I don't want to go feel those feelings, all that stuff I used to just drag around. He said, that's why I pay insurance. Work your program. I said, oh, God. So I called the lady. I prayed first. Give me the right claim person. I don't want to be talked at. I don't want to feel like a number. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Already I'm still hurting because my Nordstrom's is gone. My jewelry is gone. Okay, I don't want to feel. So the next thing I knew, I called her. There she was. And I told her and she was compassionate. And then she called me back a week later. She said, Norma Jean, I'm still waiting for the claim. I said, okay. And I sent her. I finally got down and I said, God, please help me be honest. Because you know this is one issue I've never been honest on, not when it comes to claims, okay? I need some honesty here. Do for me what I can't do for myself. So anyway, I sent the claim in, and 4 days later, she sent me a check without receipts. I told her I have no receipts, so I like all that stuff. She sent me a check for $6,000, and I paid off my Nordstrom's, I paid off my bills, I paid off a lot of things. I could not believe things I paid off, those credit cards. Okay, and last but not least, I can't tell you about the one experience here a year ago. We was coming down from from Tennessee, and I surrendered. I said, Lord, you know, I need somewhere to park this motor coach. And I know that you want me to start living in Florida 6 months and live in Hawaii 6 months. But knowledge of your will and the power to carry it out. And then when I dropped down, And my daughter was renting in Claremont, Davenport. And she said, hey, Mom, I'm going to buy me a house. I said, I said, you want to buy a house? And I need a driveway. I said, okay. I said, God, she wants a house, and I need a driveway. Knowledge of your will and the power to carry it out. And this was 3 months after that prayer. And this is during a time when a lot of people was losing their homes during that time. Matter of fact, I think it was like a record breaker during that week. And we stood out in front of that house 3 months afterwards. And I said, wow, Nick, look at this. God is really, really, you know, you've been blessed. She said, Mom, wasn't for your grace, I wouldn't have this house. I said, no, babe, wasn't for God's grace, you will not have this house. So she walked in that. We walked in that house on a Monday. Tuesday, I drove that big motor coach up on the side. And Wednesday, we already had the tickets to return. We had the tickets. Matter of fact, the closing was supposed to be in July. And they backed it up into June. And we was able to take off in time to go back to the islands. So Florida's been good to me in a lot of ways. Even with that, you know, that car theft, I still gained more than what I lost. And I guess what? I don't go to Nordstrom's no more. I mean, you know, this is my experience. I guess that was an obsession I had to let go. And Las Vegas, I became, you know, 5 years in recovery. You know, 6 and 7. You know, because the alcohol and drugs don't kill me. The lifestyle will. It'll kill my relationships. And so, like, 5 years, I love the slot machines. I was a dollar. I love them dollar slot machines. I became a slot slut in recovery. And then I love food. I started eating when I first came in the program. I blew up from 90 pounds. I'm not going to tell you how much. Mm-mm. I tell you, I was on the critical list for Jenny Craig. Anyway, but, you know, for me, overeating is like dynamite. It will blow your behind up. I tell you. But I used 6 and 7. 6 and 7 set me free. And so, like, anyway, I just been having a lot of fun in my life and have a lot of power and demonstration. See, over here, a lot of power and demonstration of the extraordinary. You know, no logic and reason. You know, you can't logic and reason this program. It cannot be done. And that's the reason why you find a lot of people go back out. They try to use logic and reason in the world of the spirit. How can you? Really, in the world of the disease, which is spiritual by nature, you can't really use logic and reason. People want to know why I went back out. Because, you know, like a black cow. A black cow that lives in a red barn, that eats green grass, that produces white milk, that's churned into yellow butter, that's owned by a brown pygmy that lives in Orange County. That didn't stop me from drinking the milk and spreading the butter, you know. Just like this program, it never stopped me from, you know, they say, here are the steps we took. I didn't try to logic and reason. I said, okay, here are the steps we took. Because I'm a chronic. I'm chronic by nature. So I believe the AA is like the mafia. It makes you an offer that you can't refuse. Made me an offer, I couldn't refuse it. That's the reason why 6.8 billion people in this world, I'm the happiest person I know. There should be two of me. Anyway, but and one thing about power. Power is the ability to get results. Power is the ability to get the job done. Power over that mental state that precedes the first drink. And power. That's what I have today. I got power. A God conscious produces power. And I get to live my dream. And let me tell you, I was in Australia. And they wanted me to speak every day. Usually that as a convention speaker. They got me over there. And I couldn't believe it. He said, we want you to speak every day. I said, what kind of convention is this? He said, we want you to speak every day. I said, I'm not going to speak no every day. He said, Norma Jean, you spend a lot of money for your expenses. And we're going to get our money's worth. I backed up on that one. I said, you know, you're a real alcoholic. So anyway, he said, I'm going to give you a topic for each day. And they gave me a topic. Now, I can focus now. When it comes to topics, boom, you got me. I can go there. So there I was, and the room kept getting bigger and bigger. Every day, the room was getting bigger. More people started coming in. They were sitting in the aisle, standing in the room, standing all in the back. The word had got out. Some big mouth black chick from the U.S. of A. was carrying the message of A.A. And then the next day, we got this call. And they said, oh, Norma Jean, you have to come back to California, you know, right away. I said, well, we're not going to leave. They said, yes, you will. They said, your house. Now, this is the house that went into foreclosure 5 times. Your house just went on the market. And it sold within three hours. and they outbid your home $70,000 more. Now, the bid was more than the asking price, and the bid was more than what we bought the house for. I guess you know we caught the first thing smoking from Australia back into California. Sold the house, sold the business, sold the cat, sold the dog, sold everything. No, not really. And then we start rolling around the nation in this motor coach. And then we got to back to California. Now it's time to go to that convention over there they have every October. And you're not going to believe what happened. And then we stayed over there for a couple months. And then some guy, it was time to go come back in the motorhome. And they said, this man said to us, he said, listen, I want you guys to stay 3 days extra, and I'll take care of all of the expenses, with the exception of the change of your ticket, Norma Jean. He said, because I want Curtis to do some things in my condos. He had 21 units. I said, three more days in the hammock on the beach? I did get darker, but I thought I reached the limit. But anyway, so we stayed. So on the first day of that extension, he calls up and said, hey, be downstairs, and we want you tomorrow. There's a condo that's not even on the market, and I want you to come down and make an offer. I have a realtor down here. You guys love Hawaii. You come every year for that convention, and you stay longer and longer. And I know you just sold out everything, so you got some money. I said, okay. So we went downstairs. He said, don't tell anyone, because it's not on the market. So we tiptoed downstairs, and we made an offer. They called back 5 hours later and said, we have accepted the offer. And on the third day, we took out the checkbook, we wrote a check, paid cash. Now that money came from that house that went into foreclosure 5 times. See, no logic and no reason on that one. See, that's because that's the power, that's that fourth dimension, that's that supernatural, that's that extraordinary experience. So I'm grateful to be here to share how it works for me. I walk hand in hand with power on a daily basis. So I'm going to end by saying that we all have two pit bulls on the inside of us, and they always fight for territory. One named negative and one named positive. So I have to make a decision, which one do I feed? I fed negative pit bull, alcohol and drugs. I fed negative pit bull, obsessions and compulsions and addictions and derelictions. Now today I feed positive pit bull. You know, love, joy, peace, happiness, faith, courage, and hope, integrity, dignity, self-control, self-honesty. Well, I'm still peeling that onion. So he was negative pit bull when I walked in the room. He was up here. And he was positive pit bull. He was down here in the basement. 4 dimensions now. 1, 2, and 3, negative pit bull, he decreased. And positive pit bull, he increased. 4, 5, 6, and 7, negative pit bull, he decreased. Positive pit bull, he increased. 8 and 9, negative pit bull, he decreased. Positive pit bull, he increased. 10, 11, and 12, negative pit bull, he decreased into the basement of darkness where he belongs. And positive pit bull, he increased into the sunlight of the spirit. Now today, what I have is power, purpose, promises, provision, protection, passion, presence, peace, perseverance, persistence, persona, position, prosperity, pizzazz, and permanent recovery. So if loving this program is wrong, I don't want to be right. I love this new life that I'm living, and I'm living this new life that I love. This is my 31 speaking engagement since July 1st. That's how busy I've been, all because of knowledge of His will and the power to carry it out. And I'm headed to, this is my last one. They called me up yesterday, won't you come back to what, Palm Beach Garden? Nope, I'm out of here. It's time to go. I got a call 2 weeks ago. The man said to me, he said, I want you to come. He said, I don't know if I want you to come or not. But he said, I've been having these members from AA calling my church, and they want you to come and speak at my church. He said, but I need to interview you for 2 weeks, but he told me that you're leaving. I said, what can I say? He said, I've been bringing people in, celebrities and sports players, you know, and they talk about God, but they don't have a relationship with God. How would I know if you have a relationship with God? I really don't want no one else coming up in my church unless they have a relationship with God. And I said to him, well, what can I say? But I and the Father are one. He said, church service started at 8:30. Can you be here on time tonight? See, the pastor can achieve in one day what reason and logic cannot accomplish in a lifetime. And guess who was up in that church? And they all had Bibles. AA, CA, NA, OA, I mean, GA, SA, every kind of A you could think of. And they stood up and gave me a standing ovation. And so, like, anyway, and then I got another call right after to confirmation, and he said that, you know, would you come to Las Vegas and speak for our fellowship? It's all-inclusive, never, that's what it says in the book, too, all-inclusive, never exclusive to those who seek. And 2,000-3,000 people next month. So now we're trying to get out of here to get to Vegas to carry the message to all-inclusive, never exclusive. AA is always home, but it's just other things for me to do now. And I just, that's just my experience, and I just must share it. Let you know it's about evolution. So I'm grateful to be here. And I found out a calling, a career is what you are paid for, but a calling is what you are made for. I came in these rooms, and I had to let go of my net worth. And then I found some self-worth. And as a result of the full process, I found my true worth. Because making a living is not as important as making a life. My outcome is more important than my income. And what's on the inside of me is far greater than what's on the outside of me. They call me Norma Jean C. I'm happy, joyous, and I'm free. From Waikiki, Hawaii. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you.